It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. A Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is July 26th of 2022. And I am going to make it unofficially official today. Talking football season has started. You probably could have said that when, at least in our neck of the woods, when Big 12 football media days happened. Was that a week or 2 weeks ago? Like, this, man, July is just running together right now. It's crazy. But just with every passing day right now, the football stove, if you will, is just heating up and heating up. And it's exciting. It's always exciting. And we come in here on Monday, and the calendar is going to read August 1st, which means that we'll be in a month where football will begin, both high school and college football. NFL preseason football games will be happening. So we make no apologies on this program. We're talking college football in July and August, and you can count on a lot of that. Plenty of it today on the show. Details in just a moment. However you are tuned in, I appreciate it very much, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. Always pumping out all sorts of content there. And on our Facebook page, just search 1650 The Fan, hammer the like button. And you can follow me on Twitter at RealColbert, not to be confused with any fake ones that may be out there. Website, check it out, not only for the stream, but for the podcast of this show. And that's where all of our local and statewide sports content winds up for your consumption. If you know you're not going to be able to listen to this show, but you still have time to get in your local sports fix, well, then go to 1650thefan.com. That's where you will get it. Bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Dial me up today if you have any questions or comments to add to the show. 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email the show. Email me questions, comments. Maybe there's something or someone you would like to hear about on a future show. Email me. The address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, boys and girls, here's the plan today for the show. Area sports news and scores, as always. We'll lead it off here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one. Get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brett Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back from that first break. I said we'd talk plenty of football today. We will do so with David Eichold, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com. Does great work for the 24/7 Sports Network, and you follow David on Twitter at David Eicholt. That's E-I-C-K-H-O-L-T, Eicholt. And Big Ten Football Media Days going on. So plenty to talk about. Commissioner Kevin Warren spoke today. And you talk about a guy who's won back a lot of favor, right? Because he was the commissioner during the heat of the pandemic that called it off, waved the white flag first among the Power Five conferences, ultimately only to return back to playing an abbreviated season. And people were calling, me included, for Kevin Warren's job because there was a level of hypocrisy that existed there, him canceling the Big Ten season, meanwhile having a son who was playing in the SEC, and the SEC the whole time was, I don't know, maybe unapologetic is the right word, about they were going to find a way to play. And so the criticism was appropriate. Now, here's the thing, though. If you're going to criticize the guy when it's appropriate, you also should be a good enough person to give the guy some compliments when that's appropriate. And with what he's done, adding USC and UCLA, I don't know how you could not compliment Kevin Warren. And as you might imagine, he touched on a number of topics today. So we'll dig into that when David joins us, as well as, you know, what did you hear from coaches not named Kirk Ferentz that caught your ear, if anything? And then, of course, we'll dig into the Hawkeyes. And Jack Campbell, the former Cedar Falls Tiger All-State linebacker and Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, an All-American. Jack Campbell was among three Hawkeyes that made the trip to Indy with Coach Ferentz for Media Days. So, of course, we'll ask David what he heard from Jack Campbell when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports during that break, come back on the other side. And our guy, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. You follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler, that's S-E-A-N. In case you're not, you go to look him up, as you should. Talk with Sean about conference realignment. He's out there in Pac-12 country. Had a recent column about how the title was pretty good. So the title of Sean's recent column regarding conference realignment, and of course right there in his area, Colorado, reads, "Get out, CU. If the Big 12 offers Buff's lifeline out of line dying Pac-12, they'd be crazy not to take it." And as usual, it was great work by Sean. I would encourage you to go to denverpost.com and read it, because every domino that falls in this conference realignment, it's got a ripple effect on most likely a conference and therefore a program that you are a fan of. And that's what we always do when Sean joins the show. If you ever scratch your head and go, why is the guy from Denver Post come on all the time? Well, one, because he did great work at the Des Moines Register for a number of years. And two, there's just always ways to make the connection and make it local when Sean's on. And we got to have a guy, too, to talk about professional sports. And Sean's great at it. And so we get into some NFL headlines. Caught up with Sean earlier today. We get into some NFL headlines and the MLB trade deadline. We touch on that real quick. We are a week away from the MLB trade deadline, and you heard it earlier today here on The Fan. The Cubs get a 4-2 win, sweep the two-game series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've now won six games in a row, two consecutive series sweeps, and I got to admit, I didn't think that I would get this way, but they're starting to pitch better, and you go, okay, so we're gonna trade Wilson Contreras and we're gonna trade Ian Happ, but still plan to compete next year, because that's what the messaging has been from the front office. Hardly any different, I don't think, than the messaging they were putting out there before this season. Now, albeit there's, in fairness to the front office, there's been a lot of injuries, particularly on the pitching side, and they've pitched it better lately, and combine that with the right amount of offense, not that it's been a juggernaut or anything, but guys kind of, you know, getting their sea legs, if you will. And I'm going, man, can you really compete if you trade Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ? And something we'll talk about in greater detail on tomorrow's show, Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com scheduled to join tomorrow, is I think that this is a unique or peculiar trade deadline for the Cubs because you're not trading guys with the same amount of value as last year with Rizzo and Bryan and Baez, right? Therefore, you consider perhaps packaging your guys together, whether that be closer David Robertson, and Wilson Contreras, or you package D-Rob with Ian Happ to increase the return that you get. Maybe you consider trading, you know, some of these guys that are at the higher level of the minors and on the 40-man roster because they do have a bit of a 40-man roster crisis on their hands. So it's not as like point A to point B. And when you see the team play well, you add in on top of that, you see the team play well and you go, maybe you should just extend Wilson Contreras. Would Wilson Contreras take a 4-year deal for $80 million? You know, Javi Baez signed for about $22 million a year. I mean, Jason Hayward's contract's off the books in a couple of years. After next season, the money's there. And it's hard to find catchers like Wilson Contreras. So what I'm basically saying is not only does the return on these trades need to be really good, obviously, it needs to be the right. It can't just be a good player to get a good player back. It's got to be the right player. And I think a big part of that is going to be Major League ready players or very close to it. All right. I'll get off the Cubs soapbox, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, like I mentioned with Michael Cerami. But Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, area sports news and scores. Let's dive in here. Cedar Falls High School boys basketball standout Dallas Bear announced today that he's committing to Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Made the announcement on Twitter. The Vikings are an NCAA Division II school. They compete in the Northern Sun Conference. That's the same conference Upper Iowa competes in. Bear is a 6'8" forward entering his senior season. Last year, he averaged 14 points and 5.9 rebounds per game and led the Tigers with 58 three-pointers. Congratulations to Dallas on making his decision. Iowa State offensive lineman Trevor Downing has been named to the preseason watch list for the Outland Trophy presented to the nation's top interior linemen on either offense or defense. Downing is a preseason All-Big 12 selection after earning All-Big 12 first-team honors last season. The Creston native has made 26 career starts for the Cyclones. And in case you missed it, the Minnesota Vikings announced the signing of former Iowa tight end Sean Beyer. Beyer joined Denver in 2021 as an undrafted free agent. Didn't make the team's 53-man roster, was signed to their practice squad, didn't appear in a game last year, and was released by the Broncos in May. He appeared in 35 games at Iowa and prepped at Cedar Rapids Kennedy. The Waterloo Bucks snapped a 5-game losing streak, pounding Bismarck 15-5 last night. Leading 4-2, the Bucks put the game away when they erupted for 6 runs in the 4th inning. Bucks now 3-12 in the second half and continuing that series today with a doubleheader. And the Northwoods League has announced the rosters for the 2022 Major League Dream Showcase. Among those chosen, Waterloo Bucks outfielder Ty Walton. The event will take place in La Crosse on Tuesday, August 2nd, and consist of a doubleheader featuring the top players from the Northwoods League. Walton is a freshman from the University of Hawaii and is hitting .276 with 3 home runs, 11 RBI, and 6 stolen bases this season. And he also represented the Bucks in the Northwoods League All-Star Game earlier this year. Players for the showcase were selected by a panel of Major League Baseball scouts. They participate in a day of workouts in front of those scouts, which will be followed by the doubleheader. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we dig in on Big Ten Football Media Days. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
I'm Rich Ackerman. The Bengals won't have Joe Burrow at the start of training camp. He'll miss a few practices after having his appendix taken out today, while Jimmy Garoppolo is still a 49er at the moment, but doesn't figure to be much longer. And Kyle Shanahan told the media today he and John Lynch had met with the quarterback, and they are moving on to Trey Lance. Former Bengals offensive lineman Riley Reiff is a new home, coming to terms with the Bears on a one-year deal. And seven-time Pro Bowler Julio Jones, the latest player to flock to Tampa, reportedly signing a one-year deal with the Buccaneers. The Blue Jays had high expectations after a big spending spree in the offseason, but have underachieved in the first half, leading to the dismissal of manager Charlie Montoya. Things have certainly changed lately in Toronto. They're currently riding a six-game winning streak and hold the top wild card and take on the Cardinals tonight. St. Louis is two games behind the Brewers in the NL Central and a half game up on the Phillies for the final wild card. Brewers are in action against the Twins. The Phils host the Braves, who trail the Mets by two in the NL East. The Mets and Yankees open the first Subway Series of the summer. Giancarlo Stanton will not be on hand, though, as he has been put on the 10-day injured list with an Achilles tendonitis. The Cubs defeated the Pirates 4-2. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Follow us anytime on Twitter. Our handle is at CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
This is Dan Patrick. Listen to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8, right here on 1650 The Fan.
Want hassle-free health plans for your small business? Get flexible plans that fit you and your employees' needs. Call your authorized Wellmark representative, Jim Langle, with the Brummel Madsen Insurance Agency in Cedar Falls at 266-2644 to find out more today. Jim Langle is a local, authorized, independent agent for Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa. To be eligible, you must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans are not affiliated with any government agency.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The NFL opening up its preseason schedule next week. The Hall of Fame game will be taking place on August 4th in Canton, Ohio, between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The early line has the Raiders favored by 2, minus 112 against the spread. Jacksonville minus 108 getting those 2 points. The over-under is at 33. The Buffalo Bills are the favorite to win Super Bowl 57 at plus 650, followed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at plus 850 and the Kansas City Chiefs at plus 950. Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen, the favorite to win the MVP at plus 500. Red Hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% when you use the promo code ACTION75. Experts.winnersandwiners.com. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 64. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 82 tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Lows around 62. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Temperatures a bit below average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 80.
Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Brass monkey, that funky monkey.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Big Ten football media days going on in Indianapolis. And made the call. We got to get our guy, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. David and his team. Pumping out all sorts of content. Make sure to check it out. I was browsing the website earlier. I also saw there's a 30% off sale right now on their annual VIP membership. David, thanks for joining the show. First things first, though, I know you've been crazy busy today. Have you seen enough social media to see how your favorite NFL quarterback showed up to training camp?
Beautiful, Cole. I mean, it is absolutely impeccable. As beautiful as he was, the Packers wide receiver situation continues to get worse. After I took about a 10-minute nap and woke up and saw Julio Jones is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer too. So that just topped off today too.
Yeah, I saw that. It was interesting how long he stayed out there in free agency. It makes you wonder if he'll actually be able to stay healthy. But, you know, it could be worse. He could have the Bears wide receivers, David. And so, you know. Just,
hey, at least they got Riley Reiff today.
I mean,
Sammy Watkins is already on the PUP non-football list. So, this is, you know, it's fantastic.
Well, I mean, usually Packer fans, if they're not feeling so hot in July, they're feeling a lot better in November. So just remember that, okay?
All right, that's fair. I appreciate you ending that on a high note.
don't count on it, though. the vibes are good today, though. It's been nice just having this football content just continue to ramp up further and further. I was talking about that at the top of the show. Before we dig in on the Hawks, I want to start with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. A guy who's won back so much favor that he lost for what I would call a mishandling of the conference during the pandemic. But I did see that he's in favor of college football playoff expansion, which I'm a fan of too. Whether it's that or anything else, what were the big headlines from Commissioner Kevin Warren today?
You know, Cole, I think without a doubt that Kevin Warren struggled in his public appearances for his first 2 years. I mean, I still think he completely botched how he handled COVID. But granted, it's difficult and it's impossible to plan when if you're a real first-year commissioner, you're dealing with a pandemic and all of those sorts of things. I thought today was without a doubt his strongest performance yet, at least in front of the media. I mean, he was candid. Obviously, used a lot of buzzwords, but he was just incredibly personal. And I think on top of that, too, he made it very clear that he's embracing change and the Big Ten's going to continue to be aggressive. They're very excited about USC, UCLA joining the conference. It was interesting to me that UCLA and USC will get a full share of the revenue immediately upon joining the Big Ten, while Maryland, Rutgers, and Nebraska, I remember when they joined, they didn't get a full revenue sharing until after year six. So I imagine he probably ruffled some feathers with that decision. But
yeah.
You know, I think on top of everything else, he wants to continue to expand the college football playoff. He wants to continue to try to have the Big Ten be at the forefront of driving college athletics forward. And, you know, you got to say, as much as we want to criticize him, he's incredibly passionate. And I think he made that very clear today. And I think he's doing a great job of continuing to look at new avenues to explore, whether it be potentially adding new members sometime in the future, if it makes sense, advocating for more programs for the players, whether it be negotiating TV rights deals. I mean, I thought without a doubt this was the strongest performance this commissioner yet.
Have you heard anything? I know there was something, I think, from Commissioner Warren today that he's encouraged about where negotiations are for that next TV media rights deal that looks like it's going to be the largest in the history of those type of deals. Are you hearing anything at all in terms of who the new carriers could be that are going to pony up for this?
You know, I haven't really dug too deep into that, Cole, but there was one thing that I noticed today upon listening to Kevin Warren. He used the plural version of describing the new media rights partners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that struck out to me. I mean, this doesn't sound like it's going to be a flat-out exclusive deal. It sounds like there's going to be multiple avenues. I think you're right. I think it's going to be the most comprehensive and most expensive media rights deal in the history of college athletics. And obviously, when you're adding USC and UCLA to the mix, it's going to be interesting thinking about going coast to coast, because you think about Maryland, Rutgers, well, now you got the other side of it with USC, UCLA. So there's a lot going, I think, for the Big Ten right now. So I bet they're very happy that they didn't really rush into a media rights deal, especially now that, like I said, they can go coast to coast with this.
Yeah, they're playing their hand perfectly so far. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter, at David Eicholt. Okay, as far as Big Ten coaches not named Kirk Ferentz, what, if anything, from that group caught your ear? Maybe Scott Frost?
Well, Scott Frost was ready to go before he even landed his plane in Indy.
Shocked.
So basically, they have a kiss, a fan day tonight, which is why Scott Frost has a big podium session, I think, at 8 o'clock Central Time, 8 a.m. this morning. So by the time he got to the podium when it was nationally televised, he was ready to go. I mean, they open camp tomorrow because obviously they're going to Dublin to take on Northwestern. But no opening statement. I thought he was sharp, short, and direct to the point with all of his questions when it came to the main stage. I think he's just ready to just ready to get to the season because there's no hotter seat in the country than Scott Frost, without a doubt. But other than that, I don't think there are too many big headlines. You know, obviously it's this point in the year, Cole, where everyone's optimistic, everyone's improving. It's the healthiest culture they've ever had. They're taking steps in the right direction and all of that. But I will say, too, I think Harbaugh was at least an interesting listen as well. I mean, you can see how much more relaxed he is after winning the Big Ten championship last year. I think before that he was, again, you talk about a guy that had a really hot seat, renegotiate his contract last season. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh was up there as well. So tomorrow's going to be interesting, I think, when Jeff Brohm hits the stage and, you know, Iowa reporters or reporters across the Big Ten get to ask more about getting Charlie Jones and Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be interesting, I think.
All right, let's talk some Hawkeyes here. And what I was able to see this afternoon, it sounds like there's some injuries that are affecting the Hawkeyes right now. And if that is, in fact, the case, David, what do we know about any sort of implications as it relates to, you know, the end of August, the beginning of September when things kick off?
Yeah, I mean, Cole, the wide receiver depth just continues to shrink. I mean, Jackson Ritter, who I think had a decent year last year and a guy that was kind of talked about in the inner circles, as the guy that was kind of rising, he's now out for the year due to an injury, and then offensive lineman Justin Britt is also going to be out for the year with an injury. So Justin Britt, I think, was in line to potentially start at offensive guard, but he really has knee healed right from an injury from high school, and I think that's been the big key there. So who knows? You know, it'll be interesting to see what his future, I think, holds. But, you know, I was surprised that Kirk seemed incredibly optimistic about where the offensive line sits, and I think they are excited about where this passing offense can go. But, you know, you look at a guy like Alec Wick, who is the backup to Keegan Johnson on the two deep. I think Iowa feels pretty good about their top three wide receivers. But I think after that, Cole, it's definitely, I think, opportunity is probably the right word to use. There's going to be a lot of guys that have a chance to step up because Iowa's going to need guys to step up outside that top three if they want to continue to take steps in the right direction offensively.
Yeah, that makes sense. And a lot of times you can find a diamond in the rough when there's opportunity in front of guys that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have been there no matter the circumstances. As it relates to anything else Coach Ferentz had today, maybe something you were able to ask him, what stuck out from Coach?
I think Kirk made it very clear, and he was very candid about how worried he is right now about the state of college athletics. I mean, that's something that really didn't take me by surprise, but how specific he got. He said it's important to embrace change, and that's really all he can do at this point. But he just said they're doing so much so fast with NIL, the transfer portal, and so of uncertainty, and he thinks that they're just trying to do too much, and it's just going to be absolutely chaotic. And I don't want to say he's in love with the way college football used to be, because I don't think that's correct. I think he's in favor of some of these changes, but he said there's just no real structure going on. He said, look, I've been a head football coach for 24 years. 24 years ago, I didn't understand what the NCAA's structure was. He said, today, I still have no clue what the NCAA structure is. And I think on top of that, he basically made a case that he's not opposed to expanding the college football playoff, and he basically also stated that he would be in favor of having a college football czar or committee instead of the NCAA. And I think you and I have talked about over the course of my time on this show, that's something that I think is desperately needed with the way that college athletics is going. They need a college football commissioner to really, really nail things down and to continue just to actually have structure to the sport rather than, you know, rules getting broken everywhere. And even Kirk said, he's still confused by some of the rules. He doesn't even understand what's going on in some of this stuff. And he said that's just the way it is across the country right now because so much is changing.
I think, though, the point, what you point out there with Coach Ferentz advocating for a college football czar and being for college football playoff expansion, there's proof right there that he's not stuck in the past.
Yeah, no doubt. And now how much has that really reformed over the last couple of years? I mean, maybe a little. But I do think it's important to note that he's not looking to go back to the way things were. I mean, he said repeatedly, embrace change, embrace change, embrace change. And if you want Iowa to continue to be competitive in the NIL era or the transfer portal era, and Kirk's been around this long, that's the only way he can approach it to continue to have success and to continue to try to get better as a program. And I think at least from that standpoint, Iowa fans probably should be encouraged that he does seem to be open to willingness to embrace that sort of change.
A couple more minutes here with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, breaking down Big Ten football media days. And got to ask about Cedar Falls' favorite son, Jack Campbell. I know he was one of three Hawkeye student-athletes that made the trip. What'd we hear from Jack?
You know, Cole, I think especially from Kirk Ferentz and even Jack Campbell, I mean, the praise was just seemed like it was endless for Jack throughout the course of the day, and that's not necessarily surprising. When you listen to him talk, I think people have really started to gravitate toward him, and they really listen. You know, I don't want to say they hang on every single word, but everyone quiets down when he speaks up, and I think that's something that is definitely noticeable. And I think Jack Campbell, he's just incredibly down-to-earth. I mean, that's a guy that really didn't even think about going to the NFL. He wanted to come back. And I think if Kirk Ferentz compares you to Josie Jewell in terms of being the quote-unquote heartbeat of the football team, from Kirk, that's probably about as high as praise as you can get.
Yeah.
And obviously Jack Campbell now is being preseason voted as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's accurate. I thought he got snubbed last year at times. I think the coaches voted him all Big Ten second team, if I remember top of my head. That made absolutely zero sense to me. So I think this is going to be, I don't want to say a revenge tour because that's the wrong terminology, Cole, but this is going to be a year where I think he really starts to get the accolades I thought he deserved last year. But that's a guy who's incredibly driven, and he said, look, I just want to be the best Jack Campbell I can be. If that's me putting up 150 tackles, great, as long as we win games. If it's me being the third string long snapper and we're winning, as long as I'm the best version of myself, I can look at myself in the mirror. And just, I think, the conviction he had in his voice and how direct he was, he's probably one of the few guys who would genuinely believe that that is true. So,
yeah.
I'd be very excited about what he can bring to the table this season.
Real quick, less than a minute, David, when it comes to that depth chart that came out, and folks, you can check it out, great breakdown at HawkeyeInsider.com. What jumped off the page to me was Cooper DeJean at the cash, starting at the cash position, basically the nickel for anybody out there listening who's not familiar with Iowa's lingo on it. That kid impressed me so much at the Shrine Bowl last year, and his highlights were just out of this world. So, you know, can't be too surprised that he's finding his way to the top of the depth chart. But, man, I can't wait to watch that kid play ball.
That's a guy that I think everybody's excited about, Cole. I think on top of that, I think the highest praise he can earn is he's a complete football player. Kirk even said today he could probably play him on offense. He could play a returner. He could play him as a snapper. And he said, you can basically put him everywhere, and that sort of versatility and continuing to add muscle and to have that sort of football IQ. I don't want to say I expect him to have a breakout year. I think that's the wrong terminology, but yeah, that's a guy that people are going to keep an eye on over the next couple of years. He has that high ceiling.
David, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time. Know you're crazy busy out there, so take care, man, and safe travels.
Hey, thanks, Cole. Always appreciate you, buddy. Take care.
Take care. David Eichold, HawkeyeInsider.com. Check it out. Bookmark it and consider getting that VIP subscription. I mentioned it's 30% off right now, and this is the time of the year where if you haven't signed up, get signed up now because the content is ramping up, and they do outstanding work and always appreciate, like I mentioned, David's time. Let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. We'll talk more about conference realignment as it relates to college football, some NFL headlines, Major League Baseball trade deadline as well. That's a week from today. We do it all with Denver Post sports reporter and columnist Sean Keeler. That's next on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher. We'll start with college football where the two-day Big Ten Media Days kicked off today in Indianapolis. Lots of discussion over conference realignment and expansion, including USC and UCLA, and name, image, and likeness deals, along with what teams will do on the field. The Iowa Hawkeyes, one of the teams meeting today, along with Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Minnesota. The other seven teams get their turn tomorrow. To minor league baseball, AAA, the Iowa Cubs, after seeing their series finale in Omaha washed out yesterday, start a series tonight in St. Paul against the Saints. In the Midwest League, both Cedar Rapids and Quad Cities were off yesterday. Back in action tonight, the River Bandits and Beloit to take on the Snappers, while the Colonels are in Wisconsin to start a series against the Timber Rattlers. I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
These are the sounds of a dinner.
A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can unlock more cash than you realize from your home's equity with a cash-out refinance today. In the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. And with Rocket Mortgage, you can unlock thousands in less than 3 weeks. But you've got to act right now before rates go up. So when you're looking to unlock the cash in your home, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. Rocket.
Rates current as of 12/12/21. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
Always in moderation, right? Not with this guy. Get maximum sports from 5 to 6 right here on Cole & Company with Cole Bear.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And as we like to do from time to time, have a national sports discussion on what's trending. We've got NFL training camps that have already started or are about to start. Same goes in the college football world with camps getting started. And the Major League Baseball trade deadline is a week from today. So thought it'd be great to bring in our great friend of the show, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, excellent sports reporter and columnist. Maybe you remember Sean, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. Mr. Keeler, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you? Happy football season.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, is unofficially, officially, whatever, we've entered the quote-unquote talking football season, writing football season, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to joke that summer ends about July 18th or whatever, SEC Media Days,
yeah,
/ Big 12 Media Days get started. I don't know which one of those is first out of the chute this year, but yeah, that was the end. You know, then you're like, here we go. We're, you strap it on and, buckle up and you're ready to roll.
Well, in that case, since you brought up SEC Big 12 Media Days, let's start with college football. You had a column last week and the title read, "Get Out, CU. If the Big 12 offers Buffs lifeline out of line dying Pac-12, they'd be crazy not to take it." My question is, why would the Big 12 want an old girlfriend back when she's in no better place than she was when you left her the first time?
I'll give you one big reason, and that's Denver, baby.
Yep.
As much as CU still has a presence here, it tends to be a very front-runner presence. I know we've talked about on and off the air, and very similar to Minneapolis, the Buffs are in a lot different place in the sports pecking order in the nation, I believe number 16 or 17 market, than it was in 1990-91, because you've got a three-time champion NHL team here. You've got a zero-time division champion, badly run, but fun to watch baseball team. Sorry, fun to attend. Fun to attend Major League Baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different landscape, but the Buffs technically are still a part of Denver, and I think that matters to the Big 12 more than a lot of broken hearts. Hey, a lot of those people who got their heart stepped on 10 years ago are long, long gone, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, a couple great points. Do me a favor, though, Sean, if you have the ability in your soul, because your opinion is rather... is rather formed here on the Pac-12.
And I have no soul.
Can you conjure up what a best-case scenario over the next 12 to 18 months would look like for the Pac-12? I have some thoughts, but I would love to see if you can even muster this up.
I'd say a distribution deal with either ESPN, CBS, or Comcast, NBC for that woe-begotten channel of theirs, one, to get it actually onto systems and where people can... I mean, there are, I'm serious, there are community cable channels that have better penetration than the Pac-12 network. It's just a crock in the nicest way possible. And then I would suppose finding a air quote replacement in probably that San Diego State. Maybe it's a combination of San Diego State and Boise State. I know Boise State would love it. That air quote stabilizes the league, and they're able to take that financial clout and just kind of stave off the inevitable a little bit longer. I think that's the best case scenario. Is it realistic? I don't know.
What about this? I'm not sure how much it really helps or adds to what you were hitting on there, and I think you hit the mark. Somehow you were able to conjure up enough goodwill to keep the Pac-12 theoretically alive a little longer, but what about, because it's all about markets, that's what you're talking about, obviously, with Colorado in the Big 12. Add UNLV, because that's a good market to add. What about adding like an SMU? So you get into the Dallas market, add UTSA. San Antonio is a very large growing market. Add Tulane. Get into New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
You know, why wouldn't, for what they lack, the best dance partners are all taken right now, but there are still some good markets out there, and I'm just waiting for someone to go after these teams in the American and really, you know, shift the crosshairs from the Pac-12 to a conference like that.
You've given that a lot more thought than I have. You may have given that a lot more thought than George Kliakoff has. I guess if the Big 12 can have West Virginia and UCF and the Big 10 to be in Los Angeles, why can't the Pac-12 be in Dallas and New Orleans? Yeah, geography doesn't apply.
No.
I think academically they would like Tulane. I think culturally they'd like Tulane, and I think the rest of those academically are not fit. And don't bring it up, in spite of the points you make. I'm with you in terms of just a dollar standpoint, and maybe going east and being aggressive to the east is the way to go. Because, I mean, what, you can't, you know, go west, you pretty much got sharks in Hawaii and a lot of ocean. There's not much more you can cover. And you've kind of had that pigeonholing working against you all the way through this process and in the processes that went before it. So I like that. It's creative. Is it realistic? I don't know. I'll admit, I would have loved, and I tweeted about this a while ago, a Big Ten Pac-12 Super League using the Rose Bowl as a conference championship game.
Ooh, nice.
Those academic cousins for a century that they all consider themselves the Ivy Leagues of whatever state they're in would be able to kind of stay under that umbrella and that mission. And I'm not convinced the Big Ten is done getting there based on what Kevin Warren said recently, if not today, in the story that came across where we're continuing to look at brands that make sense or words to that effect. I still don't see, if you have USC and UCLA, how Oregon and Washington don't make sense. I just don't see how it doesn't.
I think just to sum this up, the message to the Pac-12 that's radio friendly is poop or get off the pot.
Yeah, it is. That's a good way to put it. they're really good at staying on the pot.
Yeah.
And I think they're also really good at self-delusion. And there's some panic in some places. So I think where CU is it's just here in Colorado, it's been good for the money, but not as good as they promised, the way that, say, Nebraska was promised. It hasn't been great for football. It's, you know, I think 8 of the 10 years have had 6 losses or more, which is actually a lot like where Nebraska is now, come to think of it. And the other two have been kind of a weird division title and then kind of a fluky one 2 years ago. And culturally, the alumni are split here, really, really, really split, because a lot of the big money donors in Colorado and a lot of the big money alums that aren't in Greater Denver are in California. The running joke is this has always been UC, you know, UC Berkeley is the slang for Cal over there. It's always been considered UC Boulder for the better part of the last three decades. Culturally and from a student perspective, I think one out of every nine students at CU is from California. It's kind of a safety school for a lot of kids there. More so, there's more money from the alumni looking west than there are in Dallas, Kansas City, Houston, and Chicago. That's been said to me a number of times as to why they stay. But boy, that's about the only reason to stay if you're the Buffs, and I don't know that that's enough. Although money does seem to dictate every point. I mean, someone said to me the other day, we were having a talk about where this is going, and they're like, boy, that pandemic scared people, didn't it? Because they're just grabbing whatever is in front of them, given that they're looking at NIL and paying players, that they're looking at the transfer portal and the cost of these coaches and the competitive market there, and a pandemic that sapped everything for about 10 to 16 months, that if you throw the biggest, whoever has the biggest money bag in front of a school, they won't care about anything else if they want to stay in this game. And that's certainly the case for USC and UCLA were concerned.
Yet somehow, Sean, you're still telling me that SMU and UTSA can't get in because of academics?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
I am.
I'll take it.
And I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to be wrong, but I'm telling you, the Pac-12 is a weird bunch, brother.
Yeah. A few more minutes here with Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler, SEANKEELER. All right, the soap opera that is the NFL is doing very big soap opera things. Kyler Murray's got a clause in his contract that makes it so he has to study film for just 4 hours a week, which is so bizarre. And then last week, I happened to catch wind that the big conversation out in Broncos country is whether or not Russell Wilson's schedule and traveling with his supermodel, superstar wife is, you know, any sort of distraction or something to be worried about. So, you know, the NFL is doing its thing, Sean, especially this all lines up with where we're at on the calendar. It is, you know, headline soap opera type content that the league's producing.
Yeah, and to the latter, when you get GMs, and they're probably Seattle's GM, frankly, saying anonymously that Russ is air quote high maintenance. Yeah, name me a great quarterback that isn't, to some degree.
Sure.
These days, given the salaries and the private trainers and the private entourages and the infrastructure that the biggest guys have. I mean, Peyton Manning is an air quote man of the people. And that's his image, but people who know him here in town would tell you, and know his wife respectfully would, and some of the protections around him would say that's not altogether true. It's more true than a lot of cases. So I don't get as wound up about Russ being a diva as GMs and do, but I'm not his teammate. You know, I have to cover him, and he's good copy. He's good traffic. So, yeah, bring on the divas, baby. We love it.
Okay, real quick, Major League Baseball trade deadline a week from today. I mean, your Rockies got to sell off like the Cubs are going to, right?
Oh, they got it, but they won't. I mean, they'll sell a little. They'll, you know, you look at four or five guys.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they move more than two. One, because they don't like the return, and B, because they don't know how to quit, for lack of a better word. They're not brave about it. So, yeah, I think it could be real anticlimactic next week.
I heard Chris Bryant's got a foot injury now.
Of course he does. because why wouldn't he?
Oh, man. I mean, Chris was Chris before, but, man, I feel like the Rockies have just made it a curse now.
Yeah, Chris Bryant might be the most Rockies big money signing ever.
Oh, that's too bad. All right.
It is.
Well, Sean, great stuff, man. Like always, enjoy Broncos camp today, and we'll be following along on the Twitter, and we'll see what Russ has to say.
All right, looking forward to it. Take care, buddy.
You too, man. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One radio network. It's training camp time in the NFL, but not for two big names. NFL Network's Mike Garafolo reports Chiefs Pro Bowl left tackle Orlando Brown Jr. won't report to camp after failing to land a long-term deal. Brown has yet to sign his $16 million franchise tag tender for this season, so he can skip camp without penalty. Meantime, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Bears All-Pro linebacker Roquan Smith also plans to hold out from camp as he seeks a new deal. Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford is at camp and throwing for the first time this offseason following elbow surgery. Rams head coach Sean McVay says his quarterback will be on a pitch count as a precaution. And Kyler Murray's new $230 million contract also comes with homework, literally. A clause in the Cardinals quarterback's deal requires him to spend 4 hours of, quote, independent study per week on game plans or film of opposing teams. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Research shows listeners don't like it when ads interrupt their music. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual customizes home insurance, we made this ad optional. If you want to skip this ad, remove your left earphone. Liberty Mutual customizes home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
If you're missing this informative ad, you must love wasting your cash.
It's the easy and smart way to save.
Now it's all been said, so if that earphone was out, put it back in your head.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Where's the defense?
Everybody knows the best offense is a good defense. And when it comes to corn pests, you need the best team in traits. Durakid Viptera trait stacks guard against 16 above and below ground corn pests, like mid-season threats of corn earworm, western bean cutworm, and corn rootworm, giving you comprehensive control when it matters most.
Here we go. Come on, let's stop them.
Don't worry. We will. It's defense season. Visit DurakidVipTerra.com to learn more.
Golden Harvest Gold Series soybeans are bred to win. These 19 varieties have strong agronomics within high-demand trait platforms like Enlist E3 soybeans for superior performance all season long. Gold Series soybeans also out-yielded Asgrow brand soybeans by an average of 1 bushel per acre in 5,542 comparisons. Grow gold at goldenharvestseeds.com/gold-series.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Kyler Murray is an impressive talent. The Cardinals QB has gone to back-to-back Pro Bowls and also rushed for over 800 yards in 2020. The impressive start landed Kyler Murray a new $230 million extension last week. But Kyler comes with concerns. His play has consistently declined in the latter half of the season. He's small, and some have questioned if he really enjoys playing football. That concern grew yesterday after details surfaced around a unique addendum in Kyler's contract. The addendum will require Murray to have a minimum of 4 hours of independent study per week. When Kyler is on his game, he looks like a top-tier QB. But if you're Arizona, the fact that you had to add the clause has to make you a little uncomfortable. Murray should want to study film during the season, and as a quarterback, he should be setting an example for his team. Instead, it appears the young QB needs to be encouraged. It's not great news for a team that just handed over $160 million guaranteed. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real live person. You know, a human being who's actually understanding your issues and works to resolve them. Someone with a knack for helping others and has a pulse. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. It's live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
You're listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole & Company with Cole Bear. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Ooh, turn this one up. Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com for their contributions today. If you missed any of it, it'll be available soon at 1650thefan.com in podcast form. Real quick, next weekend, August 5th through the 7th, Iowa's biggest Irish celebration, Iowa Irish Fest, presented by Viridian Credit Union. You can go to iowairishfest.com for your chance to win prizes with their virtual scavenger hunt and enjoy great music, food, games, workshops, and more. Back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.